Good. All right. Let's turn to Scripture, shall we? Put the switches down, Terry. Thank you. Oh. Hope so. As you know, at least those of you who can think far enough back, whenever I come to this meeting, I usually talk on the topic of women. And I don't know who can remember the very first talk I gave here. I can. And I don't know how many times I've been coming now, and this must be getting along a bit. And I think last time I spent Sunday with you too, didn't I?
Yes.
And what a lovely day we had together. All right, now this afternoon I want to continue in the usual women's topic. Amen. Because I suppose you get a bit fed up always going to church and preaching about Peter, Paul, John, James and all these other men. Perhaps you don't get fed up, because you know that whoever is being spoken of, although it always is the individual concerned at that time, in the great things of spirit, whether it be the Holy Spirit or human spirit, there is neither male nor female. You realize that, don't you? That there are only differences in bodies. There isn't a female spirit or a male spirit. That's the difference. The difference in bodies, of course, is just for the convenience of God in replenishing the earth and so on, as he said in the beginning, and all this marvelous thing. But where spirit is concerned, then we're all the same. And that's a big thing for us to understand. I know a spirit can dwell in a female body or a masculine body, and of course it moves in different directions because of that, and there is a development, but the spirit is ever basically spirit. And once we keep that in mind, we won't mind so much whether we're talking about a Peter or a Mary when we get to the Scriptures. And yet there is so much glorious truth that we have all got to learn connected with male or female, because it's along this line that the Lord teaches. I want to start in the beginning, right in the book of Genesis this afternoon. And if you haven't brought your Bible, it would be good if you could look somewhere where you could look over one. If you only brought your New Testament, thinking he always speaks from the New Testament, this is the one of the times you've been proved to be wrong. All right. Will you share out your Bibles? Good. Two ladies at the back, who ought to have known better, haven't brought a Bible. All right. When I say ought to have known better, because I live with them, you see, when I'm in London, and they allow me to say things like that. All right, then. I want to share with you on a great topic of motherhood. Now, obviously, there are some of us in this room who aren't mothers, like Terry and I, for instance, and little John there. And well, some of you are single ladies. I don't know you very well. But the great topic of motherhood, you know, is applicable to men as well as women. And it's the same too, if I was to talk about fatherhood, I think that you would see this same glorious truth. And one can never do better when we're looking into these great truths than to turn back to the beginning of the Bible. For you know, the idea of male and female and fatherhood and motherhood came from God, and childhood too. And we learn the great truth that God is Father Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's all, motherhood is always associated with the Holy Spirit in Bible. And I always think this is why, I may be wrong here, and it isn't a prejudice on my part, and I haven't got any sort of hardness or bitterness about it. This is why, I think anyway, ladies always seem to get into the things of the Spirit before men. Have you noticed that? Haven't you? Well, you do some thinking and see if it's not right. There is some kind of an association. But you know, men have the great truth of the fatherhood of God much more readily than women, of course. Because they say, well, yeah, I can see that. That's obvious. It would be so. Isn't it? When you come to think, it would be so. But we can all get the great truth of sonship. All right. And we can all get the great truth of belonging to the great bride of Jesus Christ. But I want to talk to you about motherhood. And it's as much for the males in the room to keep their ears wide open as the females. I'm not going to give a lecture on genetics or anything like that, obviously. I just want to take this simple truth that's in our Bible, that we have in our hands, look at it and take it deeply into our hearts, for let us all make sure it's all written and it applies to me as much as it does to you. So I need to know. Again, the deepest, greatest truth of the whole of this new covenant of life, this eternal life in Jesus Christ, is associated with birth. You must be born from on high, says Jesus, and that more readily plays its part in the sort of motherhood, the female side of us, than it does the male, obviously, because it's associated with women. What a great thing it is to, and of course it's only quite reasonable that the eternal Son of God should come into the world via the woman. Obviously, he had to be born into this world through the great miracle of God and Mary. What a precious truth it is, and it won't be so long before all the world, or at least all the civilized world, will be thinking in terms that revolve around Mary and a manger and a baby and everything like that. Well, of course, that's all very wonderful. And in the beginning, as we read in this Genesis story, God created, verse 1, right at the very beginning of the Bible, the first verse in the whole scripture, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And all that I'm going to talk about really starts from that God created. And listen, it's what God creates in us, it's only that is valid and acceptable to God. Do you know that? It isn't what we think, it isn't what our minds hatch up, it isn't books we read or education we gain or social position we hold or bank balance we have or haven't. These things don't make any difference. It doesn't matter whether we're married or whether we're unmarried, whether we're male, whether we're female. The thing that counts and the only thing is that which God creates in us. I wonder if every one of us is ready to assume that. You know, we've got to be very careful. Because you see, the devil gets as close to God as ever he can. This is his very, very subtle and most subtle form and powerful, in that God was a creator, and so the devil sought to get as close to God in copying that as possible. I'll show you what I mean in a moment. He wanted to be a beginner too. There had to be a beginning so far as the devil was concerned. And he began sin. He created sin. It didn't exist until he brought it into existence. God didn't create sin. You understand that? And once we get these things very clear in our mind, and we know the story of how sin came into the world, at least we think we do, I hope we know about it. Perhaps this afternoon we'll see it a little more clearly. Well, sin came into the world through the mother. Did you know that? Here, then, is something that's vitally associated with motherhood. But let's read it more carefully. God created the heavens and the earth, and you will know that he created man in verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, let them." So you see, man is them. When you read man there, you mustn't think of a man singular. You must think of man as the race. Let them. Lots of men. Men and women, of course. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, that's how God began. And you remember how he brought this out. Verse 18 of chapter 2. The Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. That's very wonderful, isn't it, that Adam didn't look upon any other creature that God had made and thought, "This would be one I would like to be with me." You see, that's one of the reasons God brought them all to him. And verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed, and you know the great story. What a tremendous truth this is, and how simple it is. Now, you will know that this woman that God gave to Adam, he called her Eve. And Eve means the mother. The mother of all that's living. And at that time, she hadn't become a mother. See, he named all the glorious creation, all the things. You will see that to be a mother didn't mean that she had to be the mother of children. Have you got that very clear? And that's why men come in here, and they can be mother too. There's a part of all of us that is the mother part of us. And this is the part that you and I have got to watch very, very closely. Let's have a look at it. You know the great and wonderful truth here in chapter 3, the great temptation. All right. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And so the story continues. What a glorious truth we have here. Now do you see where motherhood lies? Do you see that? Now that lies in all of us. Wherein lies motherhood? Deep down inside of us, we all have a faculty called desire. And if you trace it back, you ladies, of course, that know more about it than anybody else, that lies at the bottom of all motherhood in you. And also lies at the bottom of motherhood in every man, too. Did you know that? She saw the tree and desired it. That's right. And that was the beginning. That's where it all began. Sin came into the world through this great ability to desire. And in that desire, conceive something And she conceived it from the suggestion of Satan. He put his suggestion into her heart. And she conceived what? He said, you'll be as gods. Ooh, I'll be a god. God to her. Now remember, at that time she didn't know sin, you see. She didn't even know the devil. I understand, and we're talking about this being this complete innocence when God made it. The only person she knew other than Adam, that is, was God. He used to come down and walk with them in the garden. And she thought, my. And in her heart, there came a great desire to be as God. Seemed so right, didn't it? Seemed so good, didn't it? And do you see how under that suggestion, there was the subtle, subtle heart of Satan to bring her from normal desire to pride. Pride. She could fancy herself being a god. And she could have given you every sane reason for wanting to be as God. But it was wrong. Let's read something that James says. Turn with me to the Epistle of James. Keep your finger in that chapter. We're, at least if we don't go and look at every verse, we'll go stop in the truth of it. In the Epistle of James, in your New Testament, this great man of God, James the Apostle. Ready? Verse 13 of the first chapter of James comes right after the book of Hebrews, James, toward the end. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And there you have a comment in the New Testament on the process that took place in the Garden of Eden. What happened? Eve over-desired the thing. God had said, thou shalt not touch it. not take it, not eat it. And she, at the suggestion of Satan, over-desired it. Over-desire, you know, is a very, very strong thing in us. It gives forth that great evil thing that God spoke against in the Ten Commandments. Covetousness. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thine neighbor's ox, his ass, his manservant, his maidservant, his wife, all this sort of thing, showing that covetousness lies at the root of adultery, for instance. Thou shalt not covet his wife, or, of course, thou shalt covet her husband. You see, this great thing called desire. I shall not do it. Not to covet anything that is thy neighbour's. And if you say, well, who's my neighbour? Well, read the great story of the Good Samaritan and you'll find out. Because Jesus told that story when a man said, well, who is my neighbour? That's how you discover who your neighbour is. Your neighbour, strangely enough, might be living in China. Sit down and live next door. No, no, not the way Jesus talks. No. Your neighbour may be your enemy. Oh, not yes. The way Jesus talks. You should read that parable very carefully and all that Jesus said about it. Well, beloved, you see, this is how it all happened in the garden. Eve over-desired. And once you over-desire, if you're outside of Christ, that turns to lust. Always. You can't keep pure about anything if you over-desire it. There are some things we have to just rightly desire. Proper that we should. And so you see where motherhood lies? Motherhood is desire in your heart. In mine too. Yes, what a tremendous thing that is. And she took what she desired, but when she got it, it turned out to be nothing but sin and death. You think back in your lives now, the places where you went wrong. Go back to your girlhood, go back to your boyhood, seeing that there are a couple of males here. The things where you went wrong, the big things where you went greatly wrong. You may have been misinformed, there may have been some subtle devil speaking through that person or through that whoever it was, you see, whatever it was. But you see, you desired it. You desired it. And then you conceived it. And it grew and grew and grew in you. And then it brought forth. The thing was born. And what? Death. Oh, what tragedy has come into the world because of this. Isn't it? You know it's right. How careful we have to be. And remember that our great position in life is to keep our desires pure. That means to say that you don't go feeding your inward mind and eyes on things that you know will only inflame wrong desires in you. You and I have to keep very, very, very clear. What a glorious thing it is. Do you see, in the spiritual world, you conceive the thing that you hear and that you see. See, she heard what Satan said, what the serpent said. She saw the thing that he was talking about. She did not see what lay behind it. If only we'd always seen the thing that lay behind the suggestion. She didn't see death. She didn't see death. But it came. She mothered sin into the world. She was the mother of all living. So you see, when God talks about motherhood, she wasn't, she didn't beget giraffes and elephants and monkeys and all this. She didn't bring them forth. But there was something in her, this great mother sort of instinct. This, she was there. That's right. It's there. Of course, that's where you have to be very careful with your husbands, you women. That instinct, and you'll mother him if you're not careful. And if he's anything of a man, he'll resent it. That's right. I'm always dealing with it, you know, because you've got an awkward customer when I come. I'm always talking with people on these kinds of lines. Marriages that have gone wrong, or this, that, and the other, you see. And I know everything that goes on. I know what you do, you see. I've been through it for, 20 years or more. I know everything, and I know it's there. And I know that mother love can so easily become smother love. Yeah. Terrible. And you see, this mother thing must feed. See? There's the fruit. Must feed. Must have it. It was brought in the area of food. She saw that it was a tree of food. To be desired. Because they didn't eat animals in those days. You understand that? No bloodshed. No death in the world. You see. And that's it. There's something in us that feeds. Feeds. Feeds on situations. On experiences. On people. It's in you, woman. It's in you, man. It's in you. Whether we're male or female, it's the same. Only it seems more strongly developed in the female. As I said, like fatherhood is more strongly developed in the man. And what a marvelous thing it is when we understand this thing. And if we put out of our thoughts now, male or female in the flesh, but think now just spiritually, what it is inside. Now, in the same way, because the Virgin Mary, she had this mother instinct, you see, and it was to that the angel came from God. And he spoke God's word to her, and she conceived that. In this case, God worked the miracle that it didn't just work out in the spiritual realm, that it worked out in the physical. Nothing for God to do that. That's quite easy. And so, by that process, Jesus came into the world. It's only because in her heart she desired that when she heard about it. When God spoke to her, that was wonderful. She desired it. And she said, well, be it unto me according to thy word. She wasn't looking for thrills in the flesh at all. The word of God. And God has to do with it. He does do it with you and me. Cuts out all sort of flesh thrills when you come to this great salvation. And this marvelous birth of Christ and this great reality. There's nothing in that realm at all. Do you want it? Or don't you? I was talking with a young man two nights ago, it will be tonight. Oh, he came to me and he said this and that and the other, and he poured it all out and so and so and so and so and so and so. And I had to tell him, because people had told him he was a Christian. I said, you are not a Christian. You are not saved. I had to tell him ever so plainly. Straight to his face, I had to tell him. When everybody else, listen, this is a tragedy. They told him he was a Christian. They trained him to be a counsellor in campaigns, and he wasn't saved. Himself, you see. They all said he was. They all thought he was. Apparently, oh, the blindness of people. And I told him absolutely straight, as though God would catch us up to his throne the next minute. We have to be told straight by someone at last. It may seem a bitter and a hard thing, but we've got to hear. I told him the way he could come, what could happen to him. I said, it's no good me showing you or trying to help you any further unless you want it. He got up and walked out of the room. Didn't want it. He wanted to live in this fantasy world that he, where he was thinking himself a Christian and everything was acceptable to everybody. He wanted to live in that dream world. And when he wakes up in hell, at last, comes to his senses, what? Now you and I have got to be brought sharply down to earth. We've got to be told. We've got to understand. And so it was that, I suppose I ought to stop talking soon. What time is it supposed to be? I always have to ask this, don't I?
Normally about 20 past 3.
20 past 3? Oh, it's marvellous. This way, let's go on. you see? There was Mary, and the Lord just came to her and told her, and she wanted it. She wanted it. Blessed be the name of the Lord that he found a woman that wanted it. And that's how it all happened. The angel spoke the word, and desire in her conceived the truth of it. He says, you're going to be a son of God. Oh, my. What a tremendous thing. Nobody had ever heard of it before. Well, at least there had been a prophet called Isaiah. He talked about a virgin conceiving, but of course, you know, modernists didn't believe that, like they don't today. But it came, and she received it. What a glorious thing. And I hope you understand this too. That you have power to conceive in you the Word of God. Do you understand this? You, my dear woman, I could say man, but I know Terry has, so I'm not going to include him now. You can conceive the Word of God in your heart. And Jesus can come. The Son of God can come. Right into your heart. And God can bring him forth in you. This is the marvelous miracle. He doesn't want to be born as an individual through humanity now. He wants to come and live in humanity. He wants to come and live in us. Himself. Now understand, this is what it's got to be. And God expects us to hand over ourselves entirely to him. This is his demand. This is really the reason he was born as a man, that he might hang on the cross, as you know, and deal with sin, so that you shouldn't come up with any excuse and say, oh, but I couldn't, or you see, it was impossible for me, or my husband wouldn't agree with it. But you see, Eve didn't ask her husband. Did you see that? Eve didn't go to Adam and ask. She didn't ask her husband, don't you make that excuse. And listen, Mary didn't say, oh, I must ask Joseph first. I'm engaged to him, you know. I mean, this is a big thing you're asking me to. She didn't ask Joseph. And you don't have to ask anybody about this. And listen, on all the big, big things that have meant so much in your life, you didn't ask anybody either. Now, did you? No. When you and I went into sin, I mean the real big sins, we didn't ask anybody. Did we? We didn't say, please may I conceive this idea that I've got in my head and go and do it. You just did it. And afterwards you reap the shame and the guilt and all the rest that went with it. It's like this with Jesus. When God comes and talks to you, you don't have to ask anybody. You conceive it, and then you reap the blessedness, the peace, the joy, the glory of knowledge of forgiveness, the sweetness of being pure, and all this. Why, it's a marvelous thing. You do see this and understand it? Of course you do. I understand it, and I'm only a mere man. You women should understand this as easy as anything. It comes natural to you. And so we see. No, she didn't mother all the elephants and kangaroos and hippopotami or whatever you want to call them. But nevertheless, she had a great desire with Adam to, afterwards when she did come along, you know, when God created it from Adam, to look after this great creation of God and to sort of mother it along, you see. That's what she did. Hallelujah. All right, you see this glory that God is saying, and unfortunately, when it came to the devil, the serpent, she mothered sin. Sin was the begetting or the creating in this world of that which never existed before from Satan. But he couldn't do it without the woman. You understand that? And sin can't come into any life either once you've really, really been born again and you're a true child of God, unless this sort of desire thing inside us, this mother thing that we've all got, wants it. Now I know that was in a garden of innocence and purity, and only one suggestion came to Eve. But now we are being bombarded with all the suggestions and temptations, because we are not in a world of innocence now. We're in a world of sin. And they're coming all the time. It's harder for us, in one sense, than it was for Eve in the beginning. Because it's all around us, all the time. Suggestion through this channel. Something coming from something else. Temptation from this. Bit of news we read. Things we see. Here, we're in a world of it. Amen. How then can we walk in this glorious purity? Well, know this. That if your heart is pure, and it's been purified by the Lord Jesus, and it's entirely your own fault if you haven't got a pure heart, you know. Because he loves to give pure hearts. This is one of his fondest gifts to men and women, if they will receive it. See, again, it's whether you want a pure heart, whether you love to feed on all this other stuff that everybody else feeds on. Maybe husband, maybe children. Maybe just yourself, I don't know. It's what you love to feed on, you see. And he gives you a heart that has another love. He gives you a heart that has other desires. The devil comes and he seeks to invade in that area of your desire. He can get you to desire these other things for Stice, eh? She said, oh, it's a, well, that's a nice tree. Nothing wrong with it, is there? God made it, didn't he? Yeah, see, there it is, you see. God made the tree. Fruit looks lovely. Expect it tastes nice. You see, what's wrong with it? That's all the thing. And we haven't yet learned that we really don't know anything that we think we know. So God has very wisely said, now don't proceed by what you know or what you think. You just proceed by my commandments. That's all. Isn't that lovely? You see, the very simplest of us can do that. Now, you see, it touches another realm. And I say, oh, why can't I do as I want? You see, so here then you have the realm of rebellion and refusal and pride. Doesn't want to submit to anybody else. And this mother thing in us never does, if it gets out of hand. Never does. I mean, it's something you can't see, isn't it? See, you perhaps this afternoon, till this afternoon, you never thought that I had a mother thing inside me, because you couldn't see, you say, well, he's a man, and you never crossed your mind. But it is there. Same as you have, you women have the masculine thing too. Well, now, what's that? Perhaps I'd better hear what they... Well, I'll tell you what the masculinity is. I've got it too. It's just that I'm... Because I'm a man. It's not... I've got it and you people haven't. The masculinity of you is called will. I will. That's will. I'm going to. Whether they think so, or whether they don't. Whether they like it, or whether they don't. Whether he wants it, likes it, or lumps it. See, there it is, there. So it's in us all. But I've also got the mother in here. This desire. What do I desire? See, like at lunchtime, we had ice cream for seconds, and somebody said, do you want some more? I said, yes, but I'm not going to have it. But then they went and got the pot out and stood it on the table, and I fell for it. And I had a second helping. Must be very weak. But do you see what I mean? I said no first time. I desired it. No, I don't want it. Might have said no for several reasons. But you know, when it comes with God, she took it, and listen, now she changes from mother to the fatherhood. She gave it to Adam. That's right. It's in us, you see, in all our actions, in every one of us. And so, ultimately, sin, death, terrible. And yet it wasn't the will of God. On the other hand, to be in the state where it's righteousness and life, Lord, that's what I desire. And he comes to you and he says, yeah, do you see? You can be righteous as I'm righteous. You can be true as Jesus. You can have this glorious, wonderful life in you. He said, Lord, that's what I want. Just think, he says. Just think, you're going to be fit to dwell with me forevermore in heaven. And you can't conceive heaven, only you do read a little bit in the end of the Bible that talks about the capital city of the new creation, heaven, that glorious New Jerusalem, got golden streets, in the description, of course. Clear, pure, glittering, shining, hasn't any need of the sun, and your mind begins to say, something like that. Yeah, Lord, if I was only like that inside, that's how I want to be. Lord, I do. That's what, now you're starting to conceive it. Right. In your mind. And then you come to the place where you believe it. Hallelujah. Lord, I can be. I know I can. I want to be. I receive that, Lord. I believe. This is the way I've gone. I'm going to tell you the way I go at it. See, I believe it, Lord. Praise God. And that great act of believing which accepts what the mind conceives. You see? Yes. Oh, Lord. Take it right down into me now. Hallelujah. And I start to live that glorious new life that He has for me. Amen. Changes. Instead of death, life. Instead of darkness, light. Instead of shame, glory. Instead of condemnation, absolution. Isn't this a marvelous thing? You can do it. You've got it in you. You've got it in you. God put it there. I know through the first birth, because we came in via the old sin road, it's all perverted and twisted. And sometimes we can't tell our right hand from our left. We're all muddled. We're put wrong by people that ought to have put us right. Bad example shown us. Wrong company we get into. And all sorts of things like that. But Jesus comes. He forgives all that. He knows that you were as much sinned against as sinning. He knows that. He understands. You don't have to tell Him. That's glorious. To think that He who comes to us in His love and in His grace understands and sympathizes. That's wonderful. And once that sinks in, you say, oh God, at last you're beginning to get some idea of the measure of the greatness of God. Hallelujah. And oh, we open up to Him then. Lord, Lord. Right in, Lord, just take me, absolutely fill me, thrill me, possess me. Life has come, life, real life. Amen. Perhaps I'm going to end in a few minutes with Psalm 37, because this is a great psalm. I suppose it's one of your favourites, is it? Yeah, you do know Psalm 37. You know the particular verse. I won't ask you. You're not supposed to have a sort of a what's name memory. It's tremendous, isn't it? Look at verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. And so he goes on. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful that you're so really resting, trusting, believing, everything committed to the Lord, that he'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. And all that great thing which we've called the mother position and instinct in us all find its complete fulfillment in God. I've answered a letter today from a lady in great distress. Last time I saw her, she shared with me some of the great things of her heart that she can't have. Rest in the Lord. Amen. Wait patiently for him. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Amen. Now that's wonderful. When that happens, that means to say that God's at last got you so resting from everything else, all these other weird, all wonderful tinsel, trashy things that people think are so marvellous, like having a great big new car or something like that. Lump of old iron, that's all it is. Only take money out of your pocket, drain you into the dirt. That's what it'll do. You see, all that sort of thing. Just rest in the Lord. Just wait patiently for him. And he's just going to... You've got to fulfill the conditions, you see, before you'll get the desires of your heart. You've got to fulfill the conditions. And when the conditions are fulfilled, you'll be back in that place where he wants you. Where he really wants men and women to be. Just have it. He can give them whatever their heart desires. And if you don't get all that your heart desires, then you may depend that you're not in the proper place yet. That's right. And if he did let you have them, then you suddenly go, and if you get them without him giving them to you, you'll get them from Satan, just like Eve did. She got the fruit from Satan. Satan gave her what God wouldn't. God said, no, you're not to have it. But you can still have it, though. It's within your reach, you see. Satan comes and says, go on, God put it there. But God hasn't given it to you. So don't you touch it. You can have it illegitimately from Satan. You know what will happen? Bring forth death. Because it's sin. But when we move in this greatness of God, what a life! What a fullness! Oh, hallelujah. You see, God didn't originally say, thou shalt not touch it. I suppose you've understood that. God said, thou shalt not eat of it. But she'd interpreted that, and so had Adam, perhaps, as they talked together. Listen, love, we won't even touch it. If God says that, we won't even touch it. You know, I can remember a time when I was preaching in a church. We used to have a Saturday night meeting. I think I'm going to finish here anyway. It's nearly getting on for 20 past anyway. And it was a Saturday night, and just back in the row there sat a lady. She hadn't been coming to the place long. And what a wonderful thing, she did come when she did. And she did act like she did. Because within 9 months, I think, she was dead. Nobody knew it at the time. But she was sitting in the church, And I was preaching, I don't know what I was talking about. Most of you who know me know that I hardly know what I've said next time, but there it is. While I was preaching, she got up out of her seat, walked to the front, stood at the front, little table just in front, and she went, I could hear things going on the table, so I looked down, there lay matches, a lighter, packet of cigarettes, and I looked at her. I hadn't said anything about tobacco, I hadn't said anything about smoking, nothing. I said, I didn't know what to say. Well, she says, if God says it's filth, then it's filth. Well, I haven't said anything about it. But see what she did? Wasn't even going to touch it. Didn't even want it in her pockets. Yeah. And she never touched them again. Within 9 months, she was gone. You see? You never can tell, can you? You just don't know. But isn't it a marvellous thing when God talks to us? When he talks to us, sometimes he talks despite the preacher. I haven't said anything about it. Get in. Talks. Marvellous. And she got into that glorious place of purity. If I could tell you about it, but I've left it too late to start her story. Brute of a husband. But God met her. She's with him. She's with him. Now, beloved, what have you conceived in your heart right in the center of you today? There are two great powers aiming at that. The devil. And God. And you are a mother. So you may be unmarried. And quite single. And I'm a mother. Although I'm a man. Poor me. What do I conceive? I take the word of God. And I believe it. And I receive it. That's the kind of believing he wants. That receiving believing. Yeah, Lord, that's it. When everything comes all active and says, Lord, dear, I've got that. Amen. Praise him. Then he's really got us. He's going to bring it all into being. Going to establish life. And purity and holiness, and he's going to make it all manifest, because when it's all finished, this great process of hearing and believing, conceiving, having, brings forth life. Amen. Now let's pray, shall we? Blessed Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord Jesus. I'm so grateful that thou hast made us like this. We know, Lord, that we're a target for Satan, but because we're thy children, we're also the repository of God. And we thank you, Lord, for all that thou art doing in all our lives. And Lord, how thou dost treasure this mother instinct and power within us all, that by it thou shouldst beget into our lives the grandness and greatness of Jesus, thy Son. Amen.